Hi there. Welcome to the Utah Puck Report. I'm your host, Jay Stevens. Glad to be here. It's a beautiful day. As I said, it's always a great day for hockey. Co-host today, Jordan Parisi.
Hey, afternoon.
Special guest today, Jake LeMay. Jake, you everything working over there?
Yeah, I believe so. All right, perfect. I don't have to hit any certain buttons or anything.
No. That's why we got a producer, because otherwise, even at three buttons, I'd be overwhelmed. So Jake is the head coach of the Ogden Mustangs in the Western States Hockey League. I don't know why I forgot how to talk all of a sudden. You'd think since it's my job, I'd know how to do it. But so the WSHL, and you guys are probably the flagship for the WSHL. And it's I want to get into all that and figure out how you've done it, because it's impressive, and it's so much fun to watch and to follow the team and to follow the players afterwards. I mean, you've had some amazing kids come through here, and to see them be, you know, playing NCAA Division I and Division III, and it's just, I don't know if you even knew that, Jordan. We've had, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're the only team to put a guy in Division I.
Yeah, directly from our league, correct.
Okay. All right, so tell me a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
I'm from, grew up, born and raised in Muskegon, Michigan, and played hockey throughout the state my whole life, and bounced around, played a little juniors and some minor pro. Met some people along the way that kind of transcended into relationships that brought me out here.
Okay. I don't want to glaze over everything, because I'm gonna hammer you a little bit on playing, and because you played ACHA, right?
Yeah, I played a semester of ACHA. Yeah,
and now you're kind of like against it. Are you? I wouldn't say against you. You want your players to be
correct. Yeah,
not in ACHA. You want to see them go NCAA.
Right. To each his own. You know. Yeah. I think it's players. Personally, I never grew up striving to be an ACHA hockey player, and I don't think a lot of players or parents invest into saying, okay, let's settle.
Right.
You know, so we really strive, you know, NCAA, and I recognize, I'm not naive enough to say that it's for everybody financially, academically. There's a lot of different avenues, but from a program, from a personal, from my players, they come to me wanting to play NCAA college hockey.
Right. I don't think that. I mean, I absolutely agree with that 100%. But I was gonna step into coaching at Weber this year, and I'm like, man, I'm gonna be all over Jake, because I want all of it. Like, any player that's not going NCAA, I want to stay in Ogden and play at Weber, because you bring in winners, and you bring in all this talent. So I was gonna be your best friend instead of having been calling you daily and coming to all the games. But all right, so you played. What was your role as a player?
I just kind of had to find what was missing, I guess. And I've always been a bigger guy, more of an aggressor, and skill sets didn't really come naturally to me. So I think growing up, I was a better player. And as I hit the open market and exposed myself in junior camps, I wasn't as talented as I thought I had initially been, and had to, I played a physical brand. So I found, fighting was a part of my game, and not necessarily going out being an enforcer, but more or less having to defend myself from playing a physical game. So I learned how to defend myself pretty quickly, and, you know, kind of went from there.
Yeah, there's still tapes on. I mean, you can still find videos of you on YouTube.
They're scarce, but they're there.
Oh, you did well. All right, so how do you end up in Ogden? It wasn't your first stop as coach, right?
No. So I, after I got done playing, I moved to New York and ran a strength and conditioning place there in Long Island. Got really familiar with the coaches there and the general manager and the program ran by the New York Islanders. At the time, it was PAL, Suffolk PAL. Now it's the PAL Islanders and the NCDC. But I was there for 3 years doing all the strength and conditioning, kind of was brought on as an assistant coach and learned the reins. I knew it was something that I wanted to get into. Mentored under Alexei Nikiforov, which was then the head coach, Dan Marshall, some of those guys out on Long Island, and just kind of was grooming myself to see what was next. An opportunity presented itself to move down to Florida, where I was the strength and conditioning coach for the ECHL team for 2 years. We started a junior program, which was then the Empire, which is now the USPHL. They have a premier and an elite division there. Spent 2 years there, and then A local, David Imani from Salt Lake here, kind of worked with me, mentoring me and helping me get from camp to camp when I was bouncing around the professional ranks. Told me about an opportunity out here and kind of just threw in my resume as maybe a free trip to see Utah. I've never been out here. And
really?
8 years later, here I am.
Yeah. You've been here a long time. I had no idea Dave had his hand in all of that.
Yeah. Well, he kind of, when I was playing, he just, he wasn't necessarily, he was kind of getting into the role of where he is now. You know,
right,
he's pretty well established, but I don't want to say he preyed on guys like me because I was fortunate to have him, but you know, he worked with guys that were needing to find homes, you know, and he worked really hard and, you know, he's continued to work really hard to build his brand and his business. And we stayed friends and kind of kept in touch. And, you know, it's a close, tight-knit circle, you know?
Yeah, it really is. And Dave's name comes up quite a bit with the players. But it's funny that you bring that up because it was the same. I was a pretend agent for a minute, and it was all by accident. It was just because of Shattuck guys. And, Jordan, you know the Deeths.
Yeah.
And I got a phone call. Like, I was these guys weren't getting offers anywhere because Kevin was old. Right? No, Brian was older, and so Brian and I were talking, and he's like, "Hey, I'm not getting any offers to go pro out of college," and I had only known him from Shattuck, and I was like, "Well, Dave hadn't really established himself yet," and I'm like, "Well, I think I can do this. Let me make a phone call. I'll just call the Grizzlies. I don't, you know, it's from E-Buggin," and so I called, and they're like, "Yeah, we'll take a look at him. Let's bring him to camp. That's cool. Yeah, sure." I was like, well, that was easy. And then Brian calls me again. He's like, hey, I got like four other guys that aren't getting offers anywhere. And so all of a sudden, for 2 years during the offseason, I had a list of guys I'd go through and I'd get their hockey DB. And then I'd like learned how to send an email to a coach that all they had to do is click their name and it would go right to their hockey DB. And if I had any video for them, and all of a sudden I started landing guys, but I never charged anybody. So I did it for like two and a half years. I got Brian Deeth, and then I ended up getting Kevin Deeth a deal, and then I was dealing with one of Kevin's friends, and he lost an eye, and he called me. He like hit in the eye with a puck or something, and he called me. He's like, "What am I going to do?" And I'm like, "I'm not an agent. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not a real agent." So guys like Dave, I mean, it is you go through and you get the guys that are really on the bubble of making any team anywhere, and you start making phone calls, and you do. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, and there's definitely I'm glad that you guys brought up Dave and what he has done, because he's helped a couple of my friends as well. And I know that like there were certain points in my career where I had friends that were, you know, AHL East Coast bubble players, and they couldn't find agents because the NHL agents, you know, for I guess understandably, but unfortunately, did not want to work with guys that were not going to make them a lot of money.
Right.
So they would run into these really sticky situations where they want to play and they want to do the right things, and they'll run through a wall, but they have nobody that will represent them, and then they can't find a place to play.
Yeah, that's tough. That's crazy. So, and then what seems to be the case for Dave is Dave makes friends with a lot of these guys and then finds them jobs, not as an agent, but as, you know, not as a player, but he still kind of becomes your broker and gets you a coaching gig.
Yeah, full circle, you know, and the thing is a lot of it's, there's a lot of guys out there, and with Dave, it was always, for me, it was integrity. You know, I knew that he was working at all. I could call him at 3 a.m. if something happened, and, you know, he was trying to establish himself too, so I was looking at myself like, hey, we're both on equal playing fields here. Here's myself, I'm working hard trying to earn a living and earn my keep, and here's this guy doing the same thing. And I knew he was bringing in like-minded clients, you know, guys that were, like Jordan said, on the bubble there. And, you know, he kind of had to work with what he had available to him and establish those relationships, and not only finding them on-ice jobs, but coaching jobs. You look at, you know, Kevin McClellan, who he has a good relationship and worked with him from team to team, and you know, so.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And that's, I mean, man, how do you become Kevin McClellan's agent? Like, that dude's he's in the NHL Hall of Fame. But anyway, so you come to Ogden. Were you the first coach for the Mustangs, or did Dave coach it for a year?
No, so Dave was, quote-unquote, my assistant. You know, he was still doing his things, but he was coming up and helping out. I came in their second year.
Okay.
I don't really know. Devin, maybe? Minnesota guy they brought in the first year. I don't think there was a ton of success there. And then I believe Joe Flieger maybe had stepped in.
Oh, okay. The old Weber State coach.
Yeah. And then I kind of came into it blind. You know, I didn't know much about the league. I didn't know anything about the Millers, nothing about – I didn't even know what Ogden, Utah was. You know, so.
Yeah. But honestly, and that's one of the things that's kind of undercover, but Ogden is a great – like, I would move there in a heartbeat if I could. It's such a great little city. And it's, I mean, obviously it's got some bad parts that make the news every once in a while. But, man, the restaurants are the best. The people there are awesome. Like, I lived there for a year and a half. I loved every minute of it. And like I said, I'd go back. And when my kids started aging out, I started looking at going back. I wanted to sell my house and move to Ogden. But, man, it's expensive there. Apparently everybody else does know it's an awesome place to live.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting seeing it grow, too. You know, this is 8 years later, and
yeah.
From not only our fan base and our organization, the way it's grown, but the community. You know, I recently purchased a home there. Well, 2 years ago I purchased a home, but to see the, you know, how the real estate market has increased.
Yeah.
You know, condos going up everywhere, little restaurants, chains. You know, so it's really becoming a pretty cool little town.
Yeah, it really is. And it's changed a lot in the last 8 years, for sure. All right, so now you've taken over, and like you said, you didn't know the league. You didn't really know the Millers, who are awesome owners. Lori Miller and I forgot the husband's name.
David.
David Miller. Like, great owners. They're totally vested in making sure that team's successful, and they just seem to be awesome people to work with. And my experience with you and with them, it was awesome, even though one of my guys wrecked her truck, but I didn't know about it until Jake calls me. He's like, hey, how's this truck wrecked? I'm like, I don't know. Did it get hit in the parking lot or something? But one of my guys had wrecked the truck and hadn't told me yet, because he was out trying to get it fixed already. He was already making phone calls to get it fixed because he felt bad about it. But anyway, that's a different story. It was a funny story, but it wasn't at the time. All right, so how do you come into this and not knowing the league and not knowing, like, you know, Ogden, how do you get successful players here? How do you turn this into what you've done?
Well, I think in year one, I just kind of took what my recipe for success, you know, when I was in Long Island, we had actually won a national championship my first year there. Physically being part of the coaching staff, we had won a national championship. The second year we lost in the finals of the national championship. I went down to Florida, made nationals our first year as an inaugural season, you know, first year team. You know, so I took what I the skill sets and everything that I had learned of how to build the team, the chemistry, everything, and kind of went into the unknown. And I think that first year we were maybe one game under 500. I think we were like 19-20-7 or something like that. And, you know, it took a year to kind of see how to be successful in the league. It was a little bit bigger. It was a little bit older. It was a lot tougher. The travel demands were a lot more demanding. So, I don't know if it's necessarily in the players. I think the players, we've obviously, over the years have increased the skill sets and the experience of some of the guys that we've brought in. But I think we run a demanding program. You know, we have high expectations. I never enter a season, you know, hoping to be 500 or, you know, it's a never say die attitude. You know, I think the players, I'm not excluded from the demands. You know, I expect a lot out of myself. So in return, you know, the players, I think, see that and work hard.
Yeah, that's cool. And you definitely see it. The last few years, you've set records, and it seems like every year you're better. Last season, championship, you played in the championship.
Yeah.
And lost that one to El Paso.
Yeah.
No, yeah, the Rhinos.
Yeah.
With Brickley on the team. And then the year before that, you made it. How far did you guys make it the year before that?
Made it to the finals, lost by one goal to the Rhinos in El Paso. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Nice. Jordan knows. Jordan.
Yeah.
Jordan's lost a lot in game seven.
A lot of game sevens.
I've never been good enough to beat him at championships. I don't even know what it's like. I've been to him, like, I watch him on TV and stuff.
No, on the podcast I did, yeah, we kind of went over that. I think that it was like 5 years in a row of game seven losses, and then I ended my career in a game seven. But
yeah, hopefully the third time's the charm here. You know, we're going back at it. We've been to 4 Thorn Cups in the last 7 years.
Yeah,
4 division champions. We average, you know, over 7 NCAA commits a year.
Yeah, see, that's the part that's crazy, is that that stands out in the WSHL, because that's unique, right? You've had, like, obviously El Paso's put a couple guys in there, and now you've got the Utah Outliers have done one or two, but you've got the banners up. I don't know if they're still up. I haven't been there for a year or so, but you guys put banners up for the guys that go.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you're going to need a bigger rink, because you guys have banners all the way across
the wall. It stretches all 200 feet now, so we're looking at our second layer. We've got the four division championships. We've retired two jerseys just because two players who were pretty special to our program who helped us build from where we started. But, yeah, I think we have 53 NCAA banners. Four of them are some of our British players who came in that are now in gone from our program to the EIHL, which is the top league over in Great Britain.
Yeah, who are those players?
David Clements, he's playing for Coventry. Craig Moore played last year in Cardiff. He was part of the I think he's in Fife now. Alex Forbes.
Forbes, yeah.
Yeah.
He came and rolled with me at the fire department a few times.
Yeah, good, awesome kid.
Yeah, great kid.
So he's going on his second year there. And then in my first year, we had a young man named Bobby Chamberlain who played in Hull.
Okay.
So let me ask you this. Do you think that the amount of great players are being spread out more? Because how old are you?
I'm 37.
Okay, so you're the same age as me. So pretty much you can attest to this, that pretty much when we were coming up through our days, if you didn't play in the USHL, like you're pretty much you're not going to have a chance to play Division One. And of course, there are a couple outliers. And then all of a sudden, the NAHL started to become a pretty good league, and then there's more players, and I don't know if there was a diminishing amount from the USHL, but it just seems like all of these leagues that were once considered kind of an end are now producing players. So do you think that the level of talent is being spread out more? Do you think that there's just far more good players that are out there? Do you think, I mean, why do you think that this is going on, that you can, it's not a career ender for you to go to a lesser league, is more or less what I'm saying.
Right, and I think that's part of the education process too, is, when you grew up, when I grew up, the U.S., for me personally, the USHL is like, man, I'm never going to play there. I had dreams of the North American League, which at that point, the North American League and the AWHL were kind of on equal terms. You know, you had the Bozemans and the Helenas that were really good representatives of, the West. And, back in the, you had the Texas Tornado and CompuWare, the Sioux Indians. So, I bounced around in those camps and everything. And I think that those leagues were so small at that point that they had the ability to kind of pick and choose, not that they don't now, but the good players I felt at that point were that much better, because it's like the old NHL, if you want to be in the NHL and there's only 10 teams, now there's how many teams? 32 teams.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But now you look and there's 400 options across North America. So, I think more kids are playing the game, which is awesome. It's growing and unorthodox. When I grew up, no one was playing in Tennessee, nobody was playing in Florida, California, Texas, so those states really help out. I think as players mature into coaches and find roles that they're not necessarily always able to jump right into the NHL or AHL, ECHL, and they're building programs like myself and others that came before me, I think that opens the doors to educating the players of, here's my playing experience, things like that. So, and if you have strong ownership and committed staff and the right facilities, I the sky's the limit. And I think that, Ogden is a testament to that.
Yeah, very really cool. It really seems, have you been to Ogden?
No.
Okay. I know we talked about it a lot when we used to bring you here for our camps, but Ogden's a great, it looks like the perfect college town, and it's great. It's got a double sheet there. And the one, how many seats are in the main?
They say 2,400, but the upper deck is the bleacher seating, and I think that you could probably, you got to be skinny to fit in one of those. I think for probably every two seats up there, you get one. So 2,200, okay. 2,100, and believe it or not, we sold out last year. I think we sold out six or seven times.
Yeah, that's so great. So anyway, what I was saying is, they've got this amazing building, And then they've got this amazing program. And then Jake and the Mustangs have came in and they've taken over the locker room. So they have almost an NHL setup, or definitely an AHL setup, where they've got their permanent locker room. They've got a weight room. And Jake, with you being a strength and conditioning guy, that was one of the best little box gyms around. And I didn't get to take much advantage of it, but they really have put this. It's a great setup they have there, and I can see why kids are coming. And you get tons of Euros coming. Can I say Euro? Europeans. I don't want to say the wrong thing here, but you get the Europeans coming in, and so you've sold out 6 games. But you have a pretty good. How many home games do you guys have a year?
24 home games, and I think of the 18 or 19 of those are Friday Saturdays.
Yeah, and you guys get good crowds, and they've grown, and you've got it's funny because people have talked to me about the Mustangs before, and last winter, I think I was wearing my Mustangs jacket, and the guy stopped me, and he was talking to me about it, and he's like, "Hey, you coach the Mustangs?" I'm like, "No." He's like, "But anyway, you get some diehard fans out of Ogden, though."
Yeah,
and that's cool,
and it's been awesome to see how it's built. You know, like coming from the East Coast and knowing, you know, you go to a game in Boston, and it's usually couple billets, maybe girlfriend, you know, 15, 20 people.
Right,
there.
Yeah.
I was blown away. Like in year one, there was 250 fans, and I'm thinking, man, this is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and then year two, we win a division championship, goes into year three, there's 700 fans. Then there's 900 fans. You know, now on a Friday, Saturday night, we're averaging 1,500 plus, and it's just like, man, you know, so to see the evolution of, and not only that, like the fans, they weren't necessarily fans. They were spectators at one point, you know. And now just to see them learn the game and us, too, part of our goal is to educate the fans as well, you know. So educating them on the league, educating them on the officiating and stuff like that. But, you know, we went from 250 spectators to 1,500 diehard, loud, bang-the-glass fans.
Hockey-educated. They know.
That's awesome.
They know what to yell at the ref now.
Right.
They know when to yell at the ref now. Well, that's awesome. And so, kind of out of nowhere lately, because you guys used to have it pretty easy, but now the Outliers have stepped up. You guys have a real good in-state battle with those guys, right?
Yeah.
What was it like last year? I don't know the stats, but
last year. So I think 2 years ago they had our number. From a talent perspective. You know, I thought that we, you know, had more talent, but it was just something about, you know, we knew it was going to be a battle every time they played us. They played a tougher brand. They were bigger. They were stronger. They played a little bit more gritty. Our style, we didn't really match well. So they had our number. I think we went 4-3 and 6 against them 2 years ago. I want to say last year we went, we played them 9 times. We went 8-0-1, I think.
Oh, wow.
So
it wasn't
maybe 8-1.
Wasn't as even as I thought it was last year. Must have been the year before, I think.
Yeah, the year before. They went to the Thorn Cup the year before as well. But they're still very competitive. I mean,
right.
I don't think last year we won. We had one blowout game where I think that they just, you know, they lost their composure completely, and we went on like a 4-game or a 4-goal tear in a matter of minutes, but every other game I think was a 1-2 goal game, so they were still highly competitive, emotional, you know.
Yeah.
It's the battle of the state, and
right.
It really hasn't mattered who's been better. I look back to even when Jeff Carr was there a long time ago, and before they were the Outliers and they were the Salt Lake City Moose, and for some reason it's that in-state rivalry that everybody plays big.
Yeah,
and the last 2 years. Also, regardless of regular season, we've won the division championship in double overtime of game 3.
Wow. See, that's awesome. And that's so cool that we have these programs in state now where you have, I think, a record number for you of in-state kids. Maybe year one when you were here, you had some. But like last year, I think you had 4 or 5.
We're at 6 or 7 this year.
Yeah, see, that's great. And that... The thing I love about that is I think because you're not a guy that's going to be like, I'm just doing this as there's a local kid that I'm just going to put on the team so his parents are happy or whatever. You're doing it because they earn their spot on the team. There's no exceptions on your team, right?
No, everybody comes in on an even playing field. And, you know, I think part of it's too, you get some guys like the Christian Finney. He's been gone the last 2 years playing in Wenatchee, AAA. You know, some of the guys go out to Colorado and play, but to have them expose them to, you know, AAA elsewhere, and they move out and they get life experience and they come back and they're a little bit more mature and they have the opportunity to say, hey, you know, I don't have to go to Boston anymore. You know, I can live at home, or I can billet 30 minutes north and yeah, still play for a program and win and have the ability to move on.
Yeah, it's awesome. And it's great. And that's why I wanted to have you in, is just talk about it. And that means for anybody that hasn't had the opportunity to go check out these junior A games that are here, it's these kids put it all out there, and we've got, it's good hockey. It's fun to watch. And now we've got you can see the Mustangs play all their home games in Ogden. Plus you can see the Outliers play, and then you get to see them play against each other. So you've got another opportunity to watch really good hockey. And then now we have another destination for our kids to go, where they don't have to leave the state. They can stay here and they still have the opportunity to get out. Mm-hmm. So can you tell, I'm going to give you a second to sell your program. Let's get some people out here. What would you say to get people out to your game?
I just say it's super fan friendly. You know, it's a venue built for hockey. It's, you know, you go to the venues all around, and the Grizzlies, obviously great hockey, great players, great coaching staff, but the game feeling, you know, and it's not always loud and rowdy and in your face, where, you know, with the Mustangs, I think you're that much closer to the player. It's a family environment. We try to be inclusive. We do a lot of fun games, you know, for the spectator. It's not only a game, but it's a show. You know, we've got the lights, we've got the smoke, we've got the sirens, the entrance tunnel.
Yeah.
You know, we score goals. We've added things every year to kind of keep the fans engaged, but we score a goal now and the whole building blacks out and strobes go off on the goalies, you know. So,
oh, cool.
So it's fun, you know. We've got the bubble balls and the t-shirt cannons and the four-wheelers on intermissions.
Wow. You got a good mascot too.
Murray, he's all over the place.
Yeah, it's fun. I still have on my I have a little like video, it's a Mac computer that we just use as a video screen, and every once in a while it just pops through for when Tegan's coming out of that tunnel, for my son coming out. That's always fun. Just stops and plays a little video of, and they do. It's a full thing, man. You guys really put on a good show. It's awesome to see, and I can't wait to see some games. We're going to cover games this year and come out and help promote and talk about, and we did it last year. I don't know if you saw, but we covered and talked about the players. We just talk about the local players and how they're doing on your team. Speaking of which, do you have a local goalie?
Titan Anderson.
Are you bringing a Titan this year?
Yeah, Titan.
You, I don't know if you remember Titan. Titan was, you've coached him for years.
I haven't.
Titan has come to every year of our goalie camp.
That's awesome.
he started, I mean, he was just teeny when he was coming out. Now he's playing junior.
And I think that's what everybody says. Like, they said, you know, he's, Adam Bartholomew, he obviously was with the Renegades, and now he's out in Philly, and he called me. He's like, you took Titan Anderson, the little guy? I said, he's not really little. He's 6'1". Because he must have grown. So I think, yeah. But he's doing really well. You know, he's got to mature physically. But, you know, he's standing in there and taking the shots. We're four days into, you know, the season. We had a little training camp over the weekend, and now 4 days of regular practice. But he's hanging in there and, you know, taking it.
So well, I've always loved, and that's a great family, too. His family's top-notch, and his older brother was my son's age, so I got to spend a lot of time on the road with those guys. I took Landon, his older brother, I took him back to Shattuck with me one of the years, let him go through camp there. So, yeah, great family. It's awesome to see a Utah goalie playing there, too, so that's cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, anything else you want to say about the program, or anything else you want to say about the rivalry or anything?
No, we're just super excited to continue to grow. You know, it's we've seen a lot of growth and success in my 8 years, and, you know, hopefully there's many more years to come. I think that as we see Salt Lake and Ogden continue to grow, and, you know, we want hockey to grow within that, and hopefully people come out and continue to support, you know, good hockey here.
Jake, I had a question for you. With your transition away from playing and then into coaching, what were some of the things that you, I guess, brought to coaching that has, I guess, made you successful? Or, you know, as you sit there and you progress through time, there's obviously coaches that you don't like, and there's things that you don't like, whether it's guys that scream at you all the time, or whether it's they're too hard on you, or they're not hard enough on you, they don't scream enough. Like, what have you taken from the people that you had before and implemented into your own coaching style to get maximum growth out of your players?
Yeah, I think that's a good question, because if you were to ask my dad, who's been my biggest fan, you know, since I laced up skates, is, you know, it's often the pot calling the kettle black, you know. if I would have coached me when I was 16, 17, right. You know, it would have been nuts. But, I think I've probably learned more of what I don't like. I think that how I've evolved as a coach, you know, it's always that first year, like, especially for me too, being a fighter, you know, a guy that just always needed to do something to make sure my gear was still in my stall the next morning. how I've evolved as a coach, and, you know, doing seminars and, you know, talking to sports psychologists and listen to webinar, you know, things like that. You know, I think that the way we play hockey in Ogden is, it's, you know, it's a 180 from who I was as a player. And I think that that's evolved because in my first year, we led the league in penalty minutes.
Right.
You know, the last 2 years, we've been the least penalized team in the league. So, I think it's we're a fast team. We've got a lot of skill. I think that a lot of it for me is you have to teach the game. I think that, you know, I've got friends who are in the ECHL and the AHL, and they've always said, you know, it's not as much coaching as it is managing.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, these guys are good enough in Salt Lake, you know, with the Grizzlies. Like, they don't need to know what a 2-1-2 is.
Right.
You know, you have to manage the people, you know, and I think for me it's been understanding and knowing, you know, who can I rip into, who do I have to massage a little bit, you know, what I can say where. Personally, getting the right guys on the ice at the right time, making the people around me better. You know, I strive to be the best I can be. I wake up every day, you know, I work out. I try to be a walking example for my players, but I think it's not about just me being the best I can be. I think that I have to groom my assistant coach into being a better coach. I think it's just been, for me, it's been the evolution of my growth and how I can make the people around me better, and having the players just being the walking example to the players of, you know, that's a guy that I want to play for. This is an organization that practices what they preach.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay. Well, that's really all we have for today. Obviously, we're going to have to keep touching base with you during the season, as long as you're comfortable with that.
Yeah, I didn't know what I was stepping into, but it's pretty cool. So, I'm open.
I know. It's funny because a lot of people are like, I'm like, hey, come be on the podcast. And they're like, is this like in your basement? Like, maybe I don't want to go to your basement. But yeah, it's the big leagues here. We're KSL. So we got a nice studios and we got a producer that knows what he's doing. So we're not over there going, I don't know why it's not working. That happens to me all the time with computers. But anyway, so it's the Ogden Mustangs. They're playing out of, we still call it the Ice Sheet. They haven't changed that yet?
No.
Okay, so it's the Ice Sheet, and it's awesome. If you haven't been to a game yet, you got to go check them out. It's on Weber State campus, and 26 home games? 24 home
24
games?
Home games.
24 home games this year, so you got plenty of opportunities to get out and see them. They're selling season tickets. If you live anywhere in the area and you like hockey and you haven't been yet, you need to go. And if you're a hockey fan and you haven't subscribed to this podcast yet, well, you need to, and you just text the word puck to 57500 or just go to kslsports.com. It's not just KSL, and it's not KSL Classifieds. It's kslsports.com. Click on podcasts, and we're right there. And Jake, thanks for coming out.
Thanks for having me.
Jordan.
Thank you again.
Thanks for coming out, man. It's awesome to have you here. It's nice to have somebody that knows hockey that can be the co-host.
That's all good.
All right. And thanks for joining us today, and that's the Utah Puck Report.